So easy for you, right? All right, let's take the next one. I'll get there, though. Okay, so now we have two other possibilities. For what the machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is. Okay, interesting Gemara. All right, so the bottom of Beis and Beis and Beitza. Rav Yosef Omar, Gzeira Mishum, Peros HaNoshim. Okay. Okay, so Rashi explained that what? Let's get this straight again. The reason of the Gzeira, the reason of the Isser, is even time of the Beitza is what? What type of a chicken are we talking about? Even if it's Omedes L'Achila, right? Because that was the Gemara's first question. If it's Omedes L'Achila, so there's no Muktzah issue. Why should it be Usser? Right? So Rabbi had to say it's Omedes L'Achila. So the first answer was that it was what? It was Omedes L'Gadol Beitzim. And that was a Muktzah question. Right? That was Rav Nachman. Leola, Rav Nachman says it was Omedes L'Gadol Beitzim. And it was a Muktzah question. And Rabba said it was Omedes L'Achila, right? It was Omedes L'Achila, and that was not a Muktzah question, but it was a Hachana question. So Rav Nachman's also holding, like Rabba, that it's not a Muktzah question, even if it's Omedes L'Achila. But what is the Isser? Mishum Peros HaNoshen Mina Ilan B'Shabbos. Why can't you have an egg that was laid on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, whichever one? Why? It's a gzera because of what? A fruit that falls from a tree. Go ahead, Rashi. The Gemara is assuming now that it's a gzera because of Peros HaNoshim. The lo nachlin hu. What does that mean? Exactly. Now, as the Gemara is assuming now, that what does it mean? It means like this. You can't have the beitza that's nolda on Shabbos. Why? Because if you have the beitza shenolda on Shabbos, you might eat a fruit that fell from a tree. And if you eat a fruit that fell from a tree, then you might pick a fruit from a tree. Okay, so it will be a two-step. It will be a two steps in the gzera. Okay, go ahead. That was the assumption. That sets up a biased question. So what's the reason why you can't have the peros hanoshim in the first place? It's because you might pick them. Davi sura doraisa, dainu kotzer shuav malacha. Okay, all right, Tosis raises an interesting question. What about on Yom Tov? Is it actually an Issa D'Raisa on Yom Tov to pick a fruit?
Why shouldn't it be Mutter?
Because maybe you'll say it's Ochel Nefesh.
So why should it be Mutter?
He has a hard time figuring out why it should not be Mutter. he has a difficult time figuring out why it should not be Mutter. In the end, he says there's a Yerushalmi that says Ochel Nefesh only starts from Lisha. The whole heter ochel nefesh only applies from Lisha on.
I was wondering if that's what.
But there is another question of ochel nefesh is only on things that you could do as you shouldn't do. You can't do things you could have done yesterday. But Tos doesn't like that over here. Okay, anyway, so let's just take the concept. The concept is there's a deraisa of picking the fruit. And then that itself is a gzera not to eat the fruit that fell, right? So he goofed gzera. Vana nikum v'nigas or gzera l'gzera? Yep. Go ahead. How is that possible to make a gzera l'gzera? We can't. By the way, Rashi, I don't know if we read the Rashi last time on the tape, but Rashi mentions earlier on the previous case, the source for all, the source for the problem of ain't gozer gzera l'gzera comes from Mishmarta Mis Mishmarti. Right? Asu Mishmeras. Kolomar, Gzera le Mishmarti, le Torosai. Lo mishmeres lo mishmeres. Shlo yasu gzera lo gzera. The source for the problem of gzera lo gzera is because the Torah says to make a mishmeres for my laws. Make a watch. Guard my laws. Meaning make a gzera for my mitzvah, for my Torah. But not to make a gzera for the gzeras. So what does that mean in general? So I mean the basic idea that we discussed last time. That the object that the object has to be the Torah. The right for the license to make gzeros is to protect the Torah. But you can't have a gzera who is only there to protect the Rabbanan institution. Okay? So that's always the question. How could you have that? That would be the setup. In other words, don't have, that's how Rashi was explaining the Kasha. The original, the Havamina was, that how did it start out? Now there are questions exactly what it means, Gzera L'Gzera. But let's say simply, let's say they made one Gzera because it's Perish and Noshrim. They made one Gzera, don't eat fruits that fell from a tree on Shabbos. Why? Because you might pick the fruit on Shabbos. That's a perfectly fine Gzera. Then they said, and because we're worried you might eat a fruit that fell from a tree on Shabbos, don't eat something that's like a fruit that fell from a tree on Shabbos. But that would be a mishmeres le mishmeres. So you say, why can't I eat the egg? I'm not worried you're going to pick a fruit. Right? There's no connection between eating the egg and picking the fruit. So don't eat the egg because we made an isser not to have fruits that fell from a tree. And we want to protect the isser of not eating fruits that fell from a tree. That would be gzera l'gzera. Right? Okay. So why is this not a gzera l'gzera? The Gemara always has the same question. Gzera l'gzera, and always has the same answer. Right? Kulachad gzeri. Okay, but what does it mean? It's interesting. What does it mean, kulachad gzeri? Right, so this is not a gzera, Rashi explains, whose objective is to protect the isser of Peros HaNoshen. Strange Rashi. But he's right, according to the, I mean, he's definitely right over here. That when they made the gzera on Peros HaNoshrim, the Gzera itself of Peros HaNoshrim included in its implication, in its mashmos, the Beitza. So apparently they didn't say Peros HaNoshrim. What did they say? Falling objects. Go ahead.
The Alpha God list the least being Mishum Tuisha.
Fascinating Rashi. I mean, it's fascinating Gemara. It's saying that what? It's, you can't have a gzera that was formulated to support another gzera, right? But in the formulation of their gzera, they can be overly broad and include things that have nothing actually to do with the deraisa. In other words, mishum peros anoshim doesn't mean because of the Isser Peres HaNoshrim, doesn't mean to serve the Isser Peres HaNoshrim, doesn't mean a cause is in turn, it doesn't mean Mishum in the sense of a final cause, meaning a purpose, right? Doesn't mean why is the Beitza Asur on Shabbos for the purpose of the Peres HaNoshrim. That's not what it means. That would be Gzera L'Gzera. But it means cause in terms of its source. That when they formulated it got caught up in the formulation of Peros HaNoshrim. Mishum Peros HaNoshrim means the Beitz is Asura because when they formulated the Isser of Peros HaNoshrim, this fell underneath the category that they created. Right? That's the interpretation of the statement. Go ahead. We'll investigate it thoroughly in a minute. But let's take both sides. Go ahead. Rav Yitzchak has the same basic idea, right? That it's also a gzera that got it also got caught up in a gzera, but a different gzera. What's Mashkin Shezavu? Good.
Rashi Mishum Mashkin Shezavu, the Kamalan Asurim Lebo Bayom. Kidnan, Vim Yatsu Miatzman Asurim.
Right, so that means the basic case is, let's say you had grapes, right, or olives. That's the case in the Mishnah. That's the main case in the Mishnah. He had grapes or olives, and you're not allowed to squeeze them. That would be schita. That would be nisa deraisa on Shabbos, to squeeze the grapes and turn them into grape juice. Or squeeze the olives and turn them into olive oil. So let's say they just dripped out on their own. So one second. So we say that you can't have the juice that's dripped out on its own, because you might then squeeze the grapes or the olives, right? Go ahead. I'm sorry. And the beitza is similar to that, because it also dripped and came out of the place that it was concealed within. Yeah. Very good. Right, so the Gemara has the same question. Abaye has the same question. Abaye is always ready with this question at hand. Okay, anyone else try Xeris? Okay, good. Right, so again, you have the same problem. Why can't you have the Mashkin Shezavu Shema Yischot? Right, and Tolda Vischitas Peros is the Tolda of Dosh. Yeah. So what's the Malacha of squeezing a fruit? It's like Dosh.
Right.
What is Dosh?
Threshing.
Yep. Shemifarkon mitoch zog shelahen. Right, that's by the fruits. That you're separating them from the shell. Kimefarek tvua mikash shelah. A little confusing. It's a little bit confusing with the tvua. Okay. It's not just my confusion. So like a somewhat of a universal confusion. In other words, what is the dosh exactly by the tefillah?
The chaff and the...
But what does the word kash mean?
Straw.
Straw. Kash means the straw. So the tefillah grows on a stick, right? Anybody seen the wheat fields? Grows on a stick. And then at the top of the stick, you have the grains, right? So what is the dush exactly? Is it breaking it off of the stalk, or is it cracking it out of the shell? Right. So the simplest shot is you're cracking it out of the shell from the stalk. In other words, wheat doesn't grow on a stalk like a grape on a vine. It sort of grows within the stalk somewhat. Somewhat like the stalk grows around it. It's not like hanging fruit. Okay, so the whole stalk is like its container to a certain degree. Otherwise things get very, very confusing. Like, why are you allowed to pick a grape off of a vine on why you have a cluster of grapes? Why isn't that the mepharik? It's like pulling a wheat off of a stalk, right? So the Rishonim go into this whole problem here later in Shabbos. But this is the simplest thing that comes out from it to understand that is it right? No, that's the equation. You're mepharik mitoch zag shelahen. You're taking the juices from the shell, from the skins, just like you're separating out the tvua from its stalk. Okay, but the whole stalk is like the chaff. Okay, question is the second chaff. Is that also like a mafari, but like a disha? But anyway, that's the basic concept here. So anyway, so that's the problem. He's saying that why can't I have the peros? Why can't I have the fruits that dripped? Because I might go and squeeze the fruits themselves. I might go and squeeze the fruits themselves. Yeah. Because they were produced on Shabbos, so I might say, okay, I can produce these things on Shabbos. But what? But that itself is a gzera, not to have the juices that dripped. So how can you tell me now not to have the egg that's laid because I might come to have the fruits that dripped? That's gzera l'gzera. She says, no, it's all one gzera. Kidaprisha, same exact idea. Kishigazru amashkin shezavu af beitza hayisa b'mashma. Okay, so now I guess the interesting question. Go ahead. Kulu. So now it's reviewing the. We have now four shitas, right? Rav Nachman, Rabba, Rav Yosef, and who's the last one? Rav Yitzchok.
Kulu Rav Nachman lo amri ki kushim.
Nobody wants to like Rav Nachman because of the problem of koach de tera, and why don't you put in both the beitza and the tarnagolas and the beitza should be included according to Rav Nachman.
Why do you even include that? If like I thought it was like a. It wasn't like a refutation, it was just a kasha?
Yeah, it was just a kasha.
Okay.
Rav Nachman still held that way, apparently. Uh-huh. But nobody wanted to learn like him because of that question.
Karabba nami lo amre hachane lesa.
They don't learn like Rabba because they don't hold, they don't dash in the pasuk like that.
Ela Rav Yosef, my time lo amar kareb Yitzchak.
Right, but here's the good question. Why doesn't Rav Yosef want to learn like Rav Yitzchak? Right? Because they basically agree on the same... They're basically coming down to the same concept as Xera because of some Nisr. So why does he hold, why does one hold that it's Dafka from the Paris and Oshrim, and the other one holds from Mashkin Shazava? What do they see to pick which one? Okay, go ahead.
Amelcha beitza ucha upiros ucha, lafuki mashkin de lav ucha.
So he'll tell you simply, I don't want to learn like you. Why? Who is this again? Rav Yosef, why did he learn not like? Why did he not learn like Rav Yitzchak, right? Because he says beitza is food, right? And peiros are food. So if I want to make a gzera from beitza, I should look to a food object like a pri. But it doesn't make sense to go from a beitza to a mashke, right? Mashkin lav uchlo, hilkach kishegazru al mashkin shezavu lo hayitza beitza bin mashma. Shereina mashke, avo b'chlal peros hanoshrin hayisa. So he's answering both. Now he's saying, the beitza is an ochel, not a mashke. So it simply won't fall under the gzera of mashkin shezavu, because mashkin shezavu doesn't include things that are not mashkin, and an egg is not a mashke, it's an ochel, but a pri is an ochel, so it would fall under the category of pri. Continue, right? And Rav Yitzchak says,
my time alone with Rav Yosef, amcha beitza blua mashkin bluin afuke peros demaglu demiglu b'chaim.
Yeah, so he says like this. Why does Rav Yitzchak hold it's mashkin? It goes under mashkin and not peros. So he says, because I say like this, an egg is balua and mashkin are baluan. Right? They're both absorbed in another object. Balua b'tocha tarnagolas. V'zava l'chutz. So it's considered absorbed in the chicken. And it sort of drips out. And mashkin are also baluan. Bichartzon. And there's oven lechutz. Yep. Lafuki peros demiglu v'kaimi. But a pri is not balua anywhere. A pri is just is open and standing. Hilkach neshiras ha-beitza lav bichlal neshiras ha-peros. Not included in the falling of the fruits. Okay, so we have to define this. I mean, they couldn't give us more information. Right? I mean, this is pretty explicit explanation of their reasoning. If we can't define this, we're in trouble. Yeah, the question is, why did they want to do something like this? I mean, they certainly could have made the gzera on peros dafka, right? Or on actual mashkin, Is it like an accident? Like they couldn't control the scope of their gzera? They had to formulate it in a broad categorical way, and automatically it's going to include these things.
That's what it sounds like.
It does sound like that, but it's strange. I saw in the... I forget where it was right now. Maybe in the Marshal, somewhere in the back. It wasn't on this Gemara, though. I think it was in Irvin. I have to look for it again. He had this funny, quote this funny Gemara that... I didn't check the Gemara, but... quoted some source that says that they didn't want to reveal the reason for their gzeiras sometimes. So they just made it nondescript, just general. So not to reveal the tam. Seems, I guess if people won't try to rationalize it. Right. People won't say, well, I won't do that. But so then it makes sense to say they just took a broad category. They wanted to sort of hide it a little bit. They did sort of want to hide exactly what they're doing. But I don't know. It's funny. It is a funny, it is a good question. Okay, but the point is, but that's exactly the point here. The point is, the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, has to do with the move of the generalization, right? How do you generalize from the particular case? What way do they formulate the general category of the particular? Correct? Go ahead. Hold on one second. Let's just talk it out for a minute. In other words, in what way Yitzchak and Nachman, Yitzchak and Yosef are arguing, as from the argument of Yitzchak and Yosef, it comes out that the egg is neither squarely in the category of Peros HaNoshim or Mashkin Shazavu, right? It has something in common with each. So let's just clarify, what does it have in common with each? Right? Each one's argument is, well, it has this in common, so it should be like it. But on this characteristic, each one is picking a characteristic and saying, in this characteristic, it's more common with X and not Y. Right? So let's just clarify what the characteristics are. So what do you say? So,
like, Like state of matter?
State of matter for the first one. So the first one is saying fruit and fruit, right? Food and food versus food and drink. Food and food versus food and drink. Okay, fine. I'll take that for now. And what's the second one? The process that's going through. Correct. The process that it's going through. Right. What's the process?
It's coming out of an enclosed cavity.
An extrusion, right? It's being extruded. Extruded, no?
I thought it was exuded. Extruded.
Oh, extrude is to pull out and
exude is to. I thought extrude was to like extend.
Secrete out.
I thought it was busting out.
All right, let's see. We'll come back. Check it out.
Secretion.
Secretion. All right, we've settled on secretion. Extrusion means that there's not really... Extrusion means something that's sticking out.
I think excretion is a better piece of something.
It's like we can't, a discharge. A discharge is not bad. A discharge, okay. A discharge. Yeah. So anyway, so one describes... One is modeled after the product, right? That the products are the same. There's what do you get from picking fruits? You get ochel. What do you get from squeezing fruits? You get the mashka. Right? So one of them, Rav Yosef, is saying, you got to look at the product. We're not defining this. We're just clarifying what they're saying. Rav Yosef says, you got to look at the product. You want to make a gzeira of... you say that there's an inclusion, you say that the beitza is included in one of these two gzeiros. You've got to look at the product. Which product is it more similar to? It's more similar to the product of Peros HaNoshim. Because what do you get from parasanotrim? What's the product of parasanotrim? Food. And what's the product of mashkin shazavu? Mashkin. So the beitza is a food. It's not a mashke. So it shouldn't be included in gzeros on the. It shouldn't be included in the gzeros of the products of that include the fruit juice process products should be included in the food product category. And Rav Yitzchok says no. He says, how did the egg come to be? How did the egg come to be? Through a process of, through some sort of it's an excretion. Okay, or if you're squeamish, a secretion. But it's in other words, it's something coming from within another thing, right? That's the process of beitza. It was a balua, and it required a squeezing out to remove it. But a pri, and that's like a mashke. A mashke is exactly the same process. How do you get the juice? It's contained in the fruit, and it came out by being removed from another thing, from within another thing. But a fruit is just standing there. How do you get the fruit? It's not a process of removing it from within the place that it was. It's just a matter of breaking its connection. Right? It's a matter of breaking its connection. Yeah. So what do you see? So what's the argument over here? I mean, it's an interesting argument. It's a question of when you take the primary case, right? You take the primary case, not the case of beitza. The beitza is not a primary case, right? When you take the primary case of peros hanoshrin and mashkin shezovu, right? How do you universalize them one step higher? Right? How do you universalize them one step higher? It's interesting. They both agree that they're going to universalize them in the same way, right? So how do you make them one step more inclusive? So Rav Yosef is saying what? Case. In other words, they're learning. It seems like this. That there's a certain uniform methodology of going from the main case to a greater inclusion, and you have two cases: mashkin and peros hanoshrin, right? Mashkin shezavu and peros hanoshrin. Those are the primary cases. Now they each agree that one of them was stepped up in a way. At least one of them was stepped up in a way that would naturally include the beitza. But they're arguing on the process of going one level higher. One holds that the process that would include the beitza could only come from the peros hanoshrin side, and the other holds it could only come from the mashkin shezavu side. Right? Just factually. So still, just a good description of here. He's saying, take the primary case. The primary case is pera, a fruit, right? Is a food. It just happens to be a food, right? It's a food that came to use on Shabbos through what? Through a maisa of separation. That's the case. And that's the primary case of peros hanoshrin, right? It's a fruit hanging on a tree. And how did it become usable on this Shabbos day? Through a maisa of tlisha. Okay, or a maisa that's doma. I'm not saying somebody actually had to pull it, but it's a maisa being pulled from its source. Right? That's the description of the fruit itself. I would just make the gzeira on the fruit itself. If I would just talk about the fruit itself, that's how I would define the object. Okay, so what did they expand? So now the question is like this. But the primary case has two equally weighted sides, right? It has, because it's a malacha. Malacha needs two things. It needs a product and a process. If there's no product, there's nothing to talk about. And there's nothing to become, without the product and without the process, there's nothing to talk about. Okay? But now when there goes there, on utilizing the product because of the malacha, right? So Rav Yosef is saying that. Let me clarify what I mean. Let me clarify what I mean here. Hold on. So he's saying like this. Rav Yosef is saying when they made the gzera for of Peros HaNoshrin, what was the gzera? The gzera was on a certain type of an ochel. It was when they're coming down into a concrete form, into a particular form of the gzera. So there are two the primary case has two essential components, right? The product and the process that it came about through. Okay, but now they're taking one particular and they're making one of the particulars the essence and the other one the accident. You understand? That's what's going on over here. The original case, both original cases have a product and a process. And they are tied together. You can't distinguish one from the other. Without process, there's no product. Without the product, there's nothing to talk about. But in the gzeira, when they made the gzeira on Peros HaNoshrin, Mashkin Shezavu, they took one of those qualities and they made it the ikar. And the other one became just a modification. And that's what they're arguing about. As Rav Yosef said, Peros HaNoshrin is the essential. Essentially, it's a fruit that came about through a maisa of Tlisha. But that's not a kind of a fruit. When they made the gzeira, they made the gzeira on a certain kind. The gzeira became a type of ochel. What type of ochel is it? An ochel that was produced on Shabbos. That became the universal form of the gzeira. Why? Because a fruit that falls from a tree is a type of an ochel that was produced on Shabbos. You understand? They went one step away from the main case. The main case is where both of these qualities are present. But to universalize, it means you have to be more abstract on one level. So they took the element of the fact that the Peros HaNoshrin is a food, and they said, in general, what is it? It's a food that was produced on Shabbos. Right? So then a beitza will be included. A beitza is also a food that was produced on Shabbos. Right? But Rav Yitzchok says the other way. When they made the gzera, the ikar that they were koveya was the process. The ikar became the process. And they said, don't partake of a process. You understand? But since it's more generalized, it's not. They made the product became the product became accidental. The ikar became the process. So anything that is of this process of excretion is what the isser became kavua. So it doesn't matter that a beitza is a food and a mashke is a drink. That's the very question over here. When they're universalizing, they're taking two cases, each particular is part of the case. But now they're universalizing, so they're going one step higher. They're saying, in my primary case, where both features are component parts of the primary case, in other words, the process and the product, to universalize means to make one into a general form. So that's the question. Which one is becoming the general form and which one is becoming the ikar? So if you go with the Peros HaNoshrin sides, he's saying like this. He's saying that the particular of the food is what's being kavua. And how the pre became a food is being generalized. You understand? So now the form of the gzera is ochel that came to be on Shabbos. That's it. No shrim is just another way it came to be. No shrim is just a particular instance of how this ochel came to be ochel on Shabbos. But the gzera went from Peros HaNoshrim, which is a particular case, to a general category of food produced. You understand? Whereas Rav Yitzchok is saying the opposite. The ikar was the process. So mashkin. So in that sense, you can't say beitza shenolda. You have to look at it in terms of the process. So you'll say that you cannot part. The gzera became not on a particular cheftza, but on partaking of a particular of a particular process. That was the question. When they made the gzera more generalized, they either made it more generalized in defining in how you define the product, meaning to say not just a fruit that came from a tlisha, but anything that was produced. Or they made the gzera in terms of they generalized the product and they put into the ikar form the process. So it either turns into don't have any food that was produced, or don't partake of this process. You understand? But if it's going to be the food side, then it has to be, then only food is included in the food side. But if it's a din and don't partake of this process, then it has to be whatever has the same description of the process. The falling of the egg does not have only has similarity with the squeezing of the fruit. Doesn't have any similarity in terms of the process of tlisha from the tree. So that was the machlokas. When they generalize something that has a process and a product, how do they generalize? Do they make the product the ikar and they generalize? They make the process like a general process, or do they make the process the ikar and the product becomes a general? Yeah, basis. Right. So just to review like this. In other words, this is the source of a biased question. Everybody agrees the beitza had to be included in a secondary form, in a secondary way, because there's no reason for the beitza for there to be a gzera on the beitza itself. There's no chshash that if I eat the beitza, I'll pull the beitza out of the egg. There's no isser involved in doing that, or there's no chshash in doing that. No one's going to squeeze a chicken or try to pull. It's not shaykh to any type of primary cause for a gzera. So that's why Abai said, oh, it must be just you mean it's a gzera l'gzera? No. So he said, no, we don't mean gzera l'gzera either. What we mean to say is like this, that it had to be included in a generalized form of another gzera. Okay? So the question is, what's the machlokas, though? Which generalized form should be included in? So what I'm saying is, that's a machlokas on how you generalize. So if you hold that you must generalize from the product that we seize on the, when the Rabbanon wants to institute they want to give a concrete form to a situation, meaning a fallen fruit that has a situation of a chashash of a nisa deraisa, the guy's going to go and pick another fruit, how do they concretize that? Would it be that they go to the product? They take the cheftza, in other words, a food, and they generalize and say, don't eat fruit, don't eat any food that's produced on Shabbos. Right? If that's the way they generalize, by taking the object and expand the cause of the object, meaning not just the fruit, not just the food that was caused through a particular process of tlisha, but through any process, then it can only be based on Peros Hanoshrim. Because if they would do the similar thing to the Mashkin Shazavu, this would not be included. Because you can't say from Mashkin Shazavu they made a gzera on Mashkin that were produced. So a Beitz is not a Mashkin. If you're gonna learn that it's coming in through a generalization and you hold you have to stick with the primary cheftza and expand the category of them. That was not just the foods that come from tlisha, but foods that come from any course. But then it would have to be not just mashkin that come through squeezing, but mashkin that come through any source, through in any way. But then you couldn't include a beitza in the mashka case. You can only include it in the ochel case. But if you hold that when they generalize, they ignore the particular product of the original case, and they focus on the process, so then The only way to include the Beitza would be to say that they expanded the process of Shechita. Right? They said, don't have any, not only when they formulated the Mashkin Shezavu, they didn't look at the particular of the Mashke. They didn't say, don't have this type of a mashke. Don't have other kinds of a mashke. On the contrary, they said, don't have things that are produced by excretion. That's what they said. But if they would make that, if they would make that generalization by the Peros and Noshrin, then they couldn't include the Beitza. So the Beitza had to be included in the Mashkin Shezavu side. Depending on how you understand the way they make their next the generalization, it will force you to pick one of the two sources as the inclusion of Beitza Shenolda. Now, as once you're going up one level in generalization, it's becoming it becomes disassociated with the original concept. It becomes somewhat of a an arbitrary, over-inclusive formulation. That's what we mean by overgeneralizing. That's what we mean by going up in one level in generalization. Now you're coming out with a definition that the original case just becomes a special case of. Right? It just becomes a. That's what we mean. We mean to say we're going up one level where the original cause just becomes a special case. Right? So how do you go up to include the original case as a special case? Do you generalize the process that brought it to be, Paris and Ocean, or do you stick with the product and generalize the process, or do you stick with the process and generalize the product? You have to do one or the other, otherwise you're in the original case. If you have a case of a product that came through a process and you want to generalize it, you've either got to stick with the product and generalize the process, or stick with the process and generalize the product. If you don't do one or the other, you're staying with the original case. That's what Rabbi Yosef and Yusuf are arguing about. What's the method of generalizing?
They're not talking about one case.
But they're talking about the derech of the generalization. That's what I'm going to say. Right? Exactly. According to the other one, I don't care what kind of a thing it is, as long as it was excreted. Otherwise, you're in the original case. If it has to be a fruit that came off of a tree, then you're now generalizing. Now, the question, we're not answering why did they have to generalize, or did they have to generalize? That's a good question that we have to leave open. Now, there is an idea in Kula Chad Exerihi that... There is an idea that it means to say as long as they did it in one yeshiva, it's considered. In other words, if they would do that the Isser Gzera would be like to have a yeshiva and a Gzera on another Gzera. Right. But as long as Bevas Achas, Chad Gzera, someone would say means Bevas Achas, that at one time, when they sit down, they can make a lot of Gzeras. As long as the, because it's the yeshiva is on the deraisa. As long as they're yoshev bedin on the deraisa, they can institute a lot of gzeros, because they can't be yoshev on another gzera. They can't come to din for another gzera. But when they're coming to din for one for the deraisa, they can say, well, this needs this and this needs this and this needs this. You know, I mean, if we let people eat the fruits, they'll eat the eggs. If they eat the eggs, we'll. If we let people eat the eggs, they'll eat the fruits. If you eat the fruits, do this. Right. But that's not the way Rashi is learning. Rashi is learning that the... Because according to that way, it doesn't matter even if they are actually separate gzeros. It could be done as long as it's one yeshiva. Rashi seems to be learning it has to be a generalized form. The machlokas would be in terms of what's the isser of asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. Does it mean in the convening of the din, or does it mean in the form of the din? You know what I mean?
How would they know? They would just be a matter of
facts. Like, if you had the egg. No, the question is, were they really worried if you had the egg, you'd have the fruit, or you'd have the drink? And then you would come to do the deraisa. And they had to make it bigger in order to stop one of those two. And this is just explaining how they were able to do it. Or is it saying they weren't really worried about that, but for some reason they made it general and included it automatically? It's not clear. But certainly the text of the Gemara is only explaining the formulation. As the formulation, they're arguing on what the generalization would include. It's mashma, they're just arguing on what could be.